So today we have the honor and blessing of hearing from Dr. Jay LaRue. Give him a hand really quick. All right. So before he comes up, he's going to be giving you as a message. And then towards the end, there's going to be some prophecy that the Lord has gifted him with. There's a spiritual gift that he has. So I want to talk about a little bit, just in case some of you may have never experienced that, or most of you may have never experienced that in person. That's something I never experienced until this Sunday in person. So, like I said, prophecy is a gift of the Spirit. As the Holy Spirit is living in us and is filling us, there's gifts of the Spirit that come through the baptism of His Holy Spirit. One of them is prophecy. Now, prophecy isn't always, oh, you're going to be president someday. That's not always what prophecy is. It's not always just telling the future in that very specific sense that, yeah, don't believe me on that. If you want to be president, go ahead. But don't quote me on that. I am not a prophet. But it's not always that literal. Prophecy is more truly, there is future telling in some ways as God gives him that word to give to some of you. But a lot of the times, prophecy is also encouraging. It brings joy. It is something that as you're hearing it, it should be encouraging, uplifting, and move you forward. Prophecy is also something that isn't just you hear it and boom, it's happening. It is something that through time, through prayer, it is tested and molded. And through time, you begin to look back and you see that prophecy and say, wow, that's awesome. That prophecy became true. Just kind of like the prophecy of Jesus, how we saw it through the Old Testament. And now that we have the New Testament, we're able to look back at the Old Testament, the Old Scriptures, and see really how the prophecy of the Messiah came to be. So in that same sense, it takes time and it takes testing for it. As you live throughout it, you begin to see it and you begin to see, wow, that's incredible. So give him a welcome as Dr. Jay LaRue comes up and speaks.
How about giving it up for Pastor Edgar, right? He's awesome, isn't he? Yeah. Yeah. And for the team, how about the team? Appreciate all the adults, yep. The dad jokes, how about those, really? Appreciate those, yes, very much so. They're good. It really is an honor to be here with you guys and gals. Yeah, it was really good. They're cool. It's a real pleasure for me. I absolutely love being with you teenagers, really in every church. So I just came in from Washington State for a weekend, Austin the weekend before, with about 100 teenagers for a weekend. So it was really good. I enjoyed it. And tonight, which I love doing, I want to take you into this incredible book. You know, I'm on a lot of universities, Christian, non-Christian, and some of those, they always ask me, like, Dr. Jay, you know, what's the relevance of this book? I said, this is probably the most relevant book. I said, this is not a history of the people of Israel. It's just not a history of individuals. It's really our story. This is our people. And it's filled with young people, young men, young women as young as 8 years old that changed their destiny for their own lives, the destiny of their families, and in many cases, the destiny of their generation and their world. And I want to take us to 2 tonight. I'm going to just read a couple small verses. And I just want you, as I love doing, is just kind of live it out with me. I want you to feel it. I want you to know what was going on, know its history, know what was happening. A lot of times we just read these and it just is kind of like it's a black and white book. And we just kind of, it's just, you know, we don't really identify with it. But tonight I really want to spend a little time and just to get a feel for it. So I'm going to read just a couple of verses, 1 Samuel. I do appreciate Edgar and his beautiful wife and the baby allowing me to be with you. Tonight that was really his choice. Here it is. Now there was no smith found throughout any of the land of Israel, but the Philistines said, unless the Hebrews make themselves swords and spears. But the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his shear, his coulter, his axe, and his mattocks, their farming tools. Yet they had a file for their mattocks and their coulters and their forks and their axes to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle there was neither a sword nor spear with any of the people except Saul and Jonathan. They each had a sword. And the garrison of the Philistines was out to the passage of Michmash. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for, I so appreciate being able to be a part of this amazing generation. This is a generation that you believe. You have great hope. You have great dreams. You have great vision. A young people that you're raising up, Lord, that'll change our history. I believe it. I believe I'm having this tremendous opportunity and honor to speak to a generation set to change the course, not only of their own lives, not only of the state of Virginia, but I believe the world. What a moment for them. So, Father, I pray as always tonight that the revelation of Jesus Christ would be theirs, how awesome he is, how incredible he is. The revelation of the kingdom of God, it's a kingdom that cannot be removed. It's a kingdom that consumes all kingdoms. It's a kingdom that has no limitations to it. The limitations are off. There's nothing impossible in this kingdom. Lord, tonight, may we embrace it and grip it in another way, that we don't fear anything that's happening in our world, that we'll truly believe, as we sang tonight, that he is champion. And we're his. Father, thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. It is the second year of King Saul's reign. He will reign 42 years. All 42 years, he'll have war with the Philistines. They will meet in a place called Michmash in Gibeah. I just want you to see it. Gibeah was north of it, here. And between Michmash and Gibeah was, they called it a wadi. It was a dried-out riverbed, and on each side of the walls of this particular riverbed were these granite cliffs. Michmash was this plateaued area. The Philistines gathered there. I want to talk to you about them a little bit. See, it wasn't only Goliath that was born for war. The entire nation was raised for war. He, Goliath, is probably just a little boy, maybe 6 or 7. David's not even born yet. But I want you to see the size of the army. 3,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen. And our Bible tells us that the infantry was numbered like the sands of the sea. You couldn't number them. They were a massive army. They feared no one. They were like the Spartans that you and I would know better. They feared no kings. They feared no army. They feared no people. They gathered there purposely because Michmash was an impossible place to get to. It was a plateaued area. There was no way to penetrate it. And they knew for sure that no one would go this way. King Saul came with his elite. He handpicked 3,000 of his elite soldiers out of the army of Israel. It amazes me. That's why I love our Bible, man. I couldn't believe when I first read it that these were the elite. They were the special forces of the army. They were literally following him, shaking and trembling. I mean, so afraid like this, they were following him, and as they were coming to Gibeah. One thing I really couldn't believe beside that was they had 3,000. Some of them defected. I'm thinking, how is it possible that this army of the living God would be shaking and trembling, that fearful of an army of their enemy? Some of them would literally leave and join the Philistines. I mean, how is it possible? See, you got to know that this army, this God of these people, just 400 years earlier, it's not that long, 20 years earlier, he delivered them out of a land of Egypt. Egypt was the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. He demonstrated a power unprecedented. He even, in one night, sent an east wind and it blew open the Red Sea. The people that were living in Jericho heard about it, just hearing about it, their king's hearts melted and all their warriors' hearts melted. That was the greatness of their God. This is their God who had performed such miracles that the world talked about it. And here they were, trembling and fearful. Some of them defected. Some left and crossed the Jordan, which was above Gibeah, and crossed over to the land of Gad. 3,000 is now 600. King Saul came with them, and our Bible tells us that they were literally hiding in dugout graves, behind rocks, in caves, behind trees. Some of them were just hiding behind the tent, trembling. They didn't know it, though, but see, the Philistines had a way of war. They had what was called spoilers. They were their elite. You would not even see them. They would always send them out south, west, and east. The army of Israel had no idea that these spoilers were beginning to encircle them. They had no idea that they had no idea this was going on. But I want to tell you tonight, my young friends, I didn't come here to talk about an army of the enemy. No. I didn't come to talk about this fearful army who had a history of a great God who did great things. He delivered them without a fight. That's how great he was. That's how great he is. No, I didn't come to talk about this army, nor King Saul, who himself was in his tent. He's hiding. They have no idea that the spoilers are approaching. No. I came to talk about his son, Jonathan. He's 20 years old, maybe 21. And his armor bearer, he's probably 16 or 17 years old. They knew each other from young people days. They hung out and chilled at the youth group at Seastone. Yeah, I came to talk about Jonathan. I don't know if you heard me read it, but they only had two swords. His father, King Saul, had one sword, and Jonathan had one. Maybe that's a reason to be afraid. Maybe that was a reason to be afraid of their enemy. Maybe that was a reason they defected. Maybe that's a reason they were hiding. Maybe. Maybe that was a good reason for that. Jonathan's armor bearer doesn't have a full body armor. It's not that kind of armor. It's not a full one. It's a short one. It's for fighting close. It's only small like this. Jonathan is just kind of pacing. He's got his sword out. He's looking down at this dried out riverbed in the early morning, the sun glistening off the granite cliffs. He's looking back at this elite army of 600. He's pacing. His armor bearer is pacing with him. I love this young man. Let me just talk about him for a moment. He really should be angry with his father. He has a right to. You see, earlier that year, King Saul was waiting for the prophet Samuel to come, and he was getting nervous. And so the prophet Samuel would have to come, and they would offer the burnt offering before war. So the king was getting nervous, so he did it himself. That's against the law of God. You cannot do that. It disqualifies you. He did it anyway. When the prophet Samuel comes, he looks at him and goes, "What have you done?" And he said, "You were waiting. You didn't come. I didn't know what to do." And he says, "This day the kingdom's been taken from you. We know it's going to be given to David." But do you realize what happened? I mean, his father just blew his destiny. I mean, he was supposed to be king. He was the son of the king. It was his future. Everything about his life was there. The power, the wealth. Everybody would have known him. Now he has nothing. He has no destiny. His father has ruined his life. You would think he would be angry with his father. Oh, no. I didn't mean anything. I love this. That's not what he was thinking about. That's not why he was pacing. I would have thought Jonathan would have been mad at the people of God. Look at him. Here he is, 21, 22 at the most. They've been trained for war, and they're hiding. I would have thought he'd be, man, there's been times I've been just fed up with the people of God. It's just like, he wasn't even thinking about the army. Now, that's not what he was thinking. I would have thought that he would have been mad at God. I mean, why am I born now? Why this generation? Why at this time? I mean, why couldn't I have been born some other time? There's a lot of other times in this Bible that he could have been born. Instead, he's born now. He could have been angry with God. But, oh, no, no. No, man. Not him. So he's just pacing. Finally, his arm bearer says, yo, what up, man? What's going on? Talk to me. Tell me. And the arm bearer starts pacing with him. He goes, I've been thinking a little bit. He says, yo, shoot, man, tell me. What are you thinking about? I'd have a question for you. He's going to ask you. Well, tell me. He just pacing. He goes, he sees his sword and he says, okay, here's my question. Is there any restraint with our God? Is there anything he can do? The Iron Bearer looks at him and goes, yo, our God? And Jonathan says, yeah, yeah, our God. And the Iron Bearer just takes his spell and goes, no, no, man. There's no restraint with our God. Jonathan starts to pick it up a little bit. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So listen, I got another question for you. And he just starts, I love this young man. I got another question for you. The Iron Bearer starts pacing with him. He goes, yeah, okay, what? Tell me, what is it? Now, you just said no restraint with our God, right? No restraint. Okay, then if there's no restraint, nothing's impossible. Then can he deliver by many or by few? Chandra knew what he's saying. He said, are you saying that, and you're asking me if our God, yo, our God, right? Yeah. Can our God deliver by many or by few? Yeah, that's what I'm asking you. And the armor says, dude, do what's in your heart. Our God, he can deliver by many or few. He said, that's exactly what I was thinking. Let's you and I go up against the Philistines. I mean, you get it, right, this moment? Yeah, that's why when I'm in other places, they'll ask me about this story. The other doctors, other professors say, come on, you're telling me it's 3,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and you can't even number the army, and this two kids, two young people, come on. Yeah, I say, yeah, I know. Impossible. But we're talking about their God. We're talking about a God that does he have any restraint? Is there anything he can do? It's almost 7 miles between Gibeah and Mishmash. They start walking. You have to know this, my young friends, is that the granite cliffs, many of us have granite, and the place I'm staying, it has granite counters. And when granite is finished, it's extremely smooth. But when it's raw like this, it's literally like glass. That's why the Philistines chose that spot. That's why they chose that area. Because they believed nobody would come. So as they're walking, Jonathan says to his armor bearer, he says, listen, dude, when we get there, if the Philistines say to us, come on up here, we'll show you a thing or two, then we know for sure the Lord's did them in our hands. But if they say to us, wait down there, then I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, I love this moment. The armor bearer says, doesn't matter. Do what's in your heart. I love this young guy. He doesn't have a name. We don't know who he is. We just know that he's standing with Jonathan. They begin to get down there to the end. And the Philistines look down into this dried out riverbed and they see some movement. They begin to, I would say, skirmish a little bit. They're looking at each other and they're concerned. Something's going on here. They think that this feared army has gotten a new courage. And they think they've come out, but they don't know really what's going on. They just don't. Even the spoilers that have gone to the side, they have stopped because they're looking back at Mishmash on their way to Gibeah, and they don't really know what's going on. They see some activity. They're not even sure. Even the watchman of Saul, who's watching down there, he's noticing something. And so Jonathan and his armor bearer get to the very end. The Philistines look down there, and they say to him, come on up here, like this. And so Jonathan says to his armor bearer, the Lord has given them to us. And I want you to see this, though, and I really want you to get a hold of this, because it's something that it really took me years to learn. You see, they started to climb up this granite cliff on their hands and their knees, the armor bearer behind Jonathan. And when you climb on this on granite, it literally will cut your arms, cut your hands, It'll literally bleed you. I want you to know this. Just because it's difficult, or maybe a little pain, or a little hardship, don't discount God being in it. Don't even think about that. Just believe Him. So they begin getting up to the top. Now the Philistines are starting to skirmish a lot. They're just uncertain about what's going on. And now the both sides, the west and the east, the spoilers, they have stopped. I love this moment. Jonathan gets to the top, and he starts slaying, fighting Philistines. His armor bearer is behind him, and it'll say that he'll kill 20 of them. First kills 20. I want to talk about that number in a moment. That's an amazing thing. I want you to see it. But what happens, though, while he is slaying them, the earth quakes. It is such a great quaking, literally, out to the spoilers. It's so bad, they begin to lose sight of who is their enemy, and they begin swinging and just slaying anybody that's there. And the Saul's watchman will say, the people are literally melting away. Now, listen, I got to tell you this. So I always have people ask me, come on, Dr. J, they probably have earthquakes all the time. San Andreas Fault probably goes to here. And I want you to know this, though. This part of the world never had an earthquake. Can you believe that God, it says that it was a great quaking of God. God quaked the earth for two young people. What might He do for you or me? I love it. It starts. They're moving. Jonathan's fighting, and this is all going on. It'll say that the Lord wrought a great victory for Israel. I want to talk about a couple things, and then I just want to move in another way. I love this story. Two young men, one was a teenager, one just barely out of being a teenager. 20 years old, maybe 21, 16, 17. A decision that seems crazy. It seems that it shouldn't happen. How is it possible? That's the beauty of it. I love the number 20 in a Hebrew number system. We don't necessarily live by it or anything, but when it shows up, you have to look at it. I believe it reveals something about Jonathan. Here's what the number means. Divine anticipation, or anticipation in the divine. There was something about this young man. The issue wasn't his father. The issue isn't about the army of Israel. It isn't about that. It isn't about what he might think. It isn't about the generation he's living in. Everything about him is about this anticipation. What might our God be willing to do? That's exactly how I feel about your generation. That's exactly how he feels about your generation. What might he be willing to do? All we have to do is just believe him. I mean, is there any restraint with him? Is there anything he can't do? That was the only thing they had. Jonathan wasn't born for war. He just believed in God. I love this armor bearer. Very much like servants in our Bible, we don't have any idea who he is. He has no name. We don't know where he's from. We don't know if he's from Benjamin. We don't know if he's Judah, from Issachar, Gad. We have no idea. I need to tell you this. I forgot almost. The ones who defected, they turned and started fighting Philistines. The one who ran away. These two young people changed the course of this nation. I believe that you're destined. I believe it. I love this armor bearer. When I first read the story, I thought, you know, I want to have a friend who says to me, you know what, Jay? Come on, man. Believe God. Do what's in your heart. That's the kind of friend I want. I have him now. Come on, Jay. Let's believe God. He's the God of the impossible. There's no restraint with him. Let's believe him. It doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. It doesn't matter what's going on in our world. It doesn't matter. I want that kind of friend. Boy, that's a friend, man. That's an armor bearer. But then later I thought, you know what? Well, I need to become that. I need to become that kind of friend to my friend. Not do what you want, the heck of your parents, doesn't really matter. Oh, no, it all does matter. But man, what friend that comes alongside another friend and says, come on, let's go with God. There's nothing impossible. Let's believe him. Yeah, but you know what's going on in my home. Let's believe him. What about school? Let's believe him. I made a decision a long time ago. I've been one for Pastor Sean, the pastor before him. Now I meet a new young pastor, be the same way with him. Got a lot of guys. So it's not anymore about whose J's I'm wearing. Now it's really about JB. So maybe tonight, though, young ladies and young men, maybe tonight maybe your night, maybe tonight, this is, you know what? Yeah, I'm gonna take that place with my friends, my brothers, my neighbors, my people. I know I'm gonna be the one. I'm gonna step up and I'm gonna be the one. Says, you know what? Let's go with God. Let's believe it. I'm gonna be that. So maybe tonight's your night. Maybe tonight is the night that everything changes in our world because of you. I believe. What do you do? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so for, Lord, for the honor for me to even share this word, to share this story. It's just it's fabulous to me. It's an amazing story. I would have thought, well, you only do things like that for big people, for kings, for famous men. No. I realize now it's not about anybody's fame. It's not about who you are. It doesn't matter what your position in life is. It has nothing to do with that. All we have to do is believe. I understand that now. So, Father, I just pray that tonight, that these words of story just kind of sink into our hearts. Mine as well. That no matter what I face, no matter what's going on, no matter how impossible it might appear to be, I'll remember there is no restraint with our God. Father, I thank you so much. In Jesus' name. Good. Let's give the Lord a hand, please. Cool. Come on, the dude shake the earth. I like that. But I want to, before I move at any level of prophecy, let's do something here tonight, okay? Because I'm believing that, especially within this church, within this community, within this youth group, we're going to begin to see the miraculous of God, the miracles of God, the healing power of God with you. The first time I ever saw anybody healed in my own life, I was 22 years old. That's when I came to know Jesus at 22. Before that, I didn't know anything. But within a year and a half, we had raised one guy from the dead. I saw cancer healed. It was just kind of a normal thing. And so I believed it all my life. But it really made something, it made a difference in my life when I was younger. And I saw the Lord do things. I mean, I'd pick up people, we don't do it now, but I'd pick up people in the street, walking down the road, hitchhiking all the time in my car. I'd just drive down and lock the doors on the highway in Connecticut. You know, I didn't want to speed, but I was nervous. I said, hey, how you doing? Good. Where are you going? To the hospital. Really? What's wrong? Well, I got cancer. Oh, you do? Okay, well, do you know who Jesus is? Well, yeah, I heard about him. I said, well, he's going to heal you right now. What? And I laid my hands on this guy, one guy's stomach. I love the story. I was in this GMC kind of Jimmy thing. And so he says, get your hand up. And I said, in Jesus' name, be healed. I didn't know anything else. That's all I knew. In Jesus' name, be healed. And so we're driving down the road, and he says, get your hand up. My hand, my stomach's burning up. I said, Jesus, he's healing you. So he couldn't believe it. He goes, I can't. Stop it. I don't know what happened to that guy. I believe the Lord healed him. By the time I got to the hospital, he jumped out of the car so fast and ran in. I thought, I hope he's okay. Yeah, I probably was a little too aggressive at that point. Well, so let's do it. If you need healing in any way, in the way you think, I was super ADHD. I was like, I couldn't get my concentration down. I was a terrible student most of my life, and I just couldn't think. And but as far as anything else, I've broken legs and my arm and hands and stuff like that, but never anything else in anybody serious. But if you have anything, I just want you to raise your hand. Anything that you need the Lord to touch and heal in your life. Anyone? Come on, just be brave a little bit here. Anything. Knee, back, stomach, nerves, your home, Good, good. All right, see, if you got somebody next to you with their hands raised, just put your hand up. All right, just touch it. Touch the person next to you. Is that okay here? Can we do that? That's all right. Good. Just touch them. Don't pinch their cheek or do any, pull their ears. Don't do that. Yeah, right? Okay. All right, good. Okay, so it's going to be this simple. Listen, this how. Listen, get ready, though, because the Lord is restoring it back to his people, especially you, the young people, and you're going to see the Lord revolutionize our world by his power. So you're going to do this simply. I want you to say it with me. In Jesus' name, be healed. Just say it. In Jesus' name. That's good. In Jesus' name, be healed. Excellent. All right? In Jesus' name, be healed. Beautiful. Where's the, is somebody playing music? Are we recording back there? The music is good. You can bring that down. Okay, great. My sister here, I just want to encourage you a little bit, okay? Now, they're recording these things so that you can hear them again. If you have your phone, that's fine, but they have them. If you need, you want to hear it again, and you want to hear, let your parents hear, especially pastor, especially. Listen, you know, I know you don't really see it in your life at this point, and really many people don't. You have to notice that even David's father didn't really see what God was doing in his life. When the prophet Samuel came to David's father's house, he said, I'm going to get a king from your family. And he lined up all seven of his eight sons. And he just didn't see anything with David. He just thought David was a waste of time. And sometimes our parents don't even see the value that the Lord's building in us. And I want you to know, young lady, the Lord has put great value in your life. And there's going to be a day that there's going to be such a sense of who he is. And you're really born to be a leader. You're really born to represent him. You really are. It doesn't mean, you know, listen, there's a lot of people that follow me. There's a lot of people that I'm responsible to. But I don't get out in front and say I'm really somebody. That's not a leader. That's just a big head with a big attitude. Jesus was the greatest leader we ever know. And his humility was incredible. It was that controlled strength that he had. And so you're going to see as through this year, but especially the next 2 years after this, there's going to be this dynamic change within your understanding, how you see yourself. And again, and sometimes parents just don't notice it, though. They just don't see what's happening in it. My father looked at me and thought, are you ever going to become something? I said, I don't really know if I'm going to become something. I just like playing sports. I like to play soccer. I hated school. I didn't care about anything. And lo and behold, here I am. And so just you know, though, that the Lord's dream is bigger than anyone's. There's things in my life now that were spoken about when I was 22, 24, 26. I thought, I don't know how that's going to happen. But the Lord knows. And so you can trust him. You believe him. Don't think for a minute that not walking with him is not worth anything. Making commitments. Doing what you know is right. You know, I would have loved to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego tonight, but really, I didn't need, this is what I needed to share. But those, you know, everybody bowed. Even the Hebrews, their friends bowed. And sometimes we think, well, what does it matter if I disobey? What does it matter if I don't do what I'm told? Oh, it matters a tremendous amount. Those three young men changed the world just because they wouldn't bow. So you just keep walking with him. You're going to be surprised at what the world's going to work out. My young friend here, I know you're probably the tallest one here, except for Dad over there, you know, because you're pretty up there. I had to look in your nostrils, I think, when you passed by me one time. Yeah, if I had that height even then, I probably could have played more basketball, but I didn't. But, you know, dude, it's not just your height. It's just not you standing out in the crowd. It really is the Lord has built a young man to lead, a young man that is to be born to be responsible. You know, sometimes leading is really, in many ways, a pressured situation. And a lot of people don't take the position to lead because of the responsibility it comes into. And it does. It has responsibility. But there's nothing the Lord will ask of us that he doesn't grace us for, he doesn't put in our lives. And you really are. You're super smart. You do, just applying yourself in all these courses is not always the easiest thing for you. But you really are. You have the ability. And the Lord is already opening up the business world. Whoever your parent is, they need to hear this. You make decisions with your parents. But he's already opening up the business world for you. And so that in your future, college is a necessity. I know you're planning on it already. But it's a necessity. You have to go. Because in the business community, the Lord will give you not only honor, privilege in many ways, But people will come to you to seek out the wisdom to understand what's going on. And listen, education. So I know for me, when Jesus came into my life, I had to relook at education. I looked at it as a waste of time. And so here's a guy who averaged a D average coming out of high school. And I graduated tops of my class, every level, both PhDs, all that. So what was going on there? What was it? Did I have no brain? No, what happens, though, really, is I realize, though, that the Lord very much is in everything I do. And so the education was important to me. I didn't think I would. It was Bible education, but I didn't know if I was going to teach it or do what I do. I had no idea. What I know I needed to do, I knew that I need to make sure that everything I did with all of my heart. And my friend, listen, you commit yourself to the school and you commit yourself to what you know is right and you walk accordingly. The Lord has got a vast future for you, more than you could dream, more than you could believe for. My young friend, dude, I love this about you, though. You're that Jonathan right there. You have that strength that he has to lead. A fearless, I mean, if you wanted to go into the military, dude, you would do fantastic in that. But you do. You have that rare strength. I don't have that. I have friends of mine that they're just not afraid. They're just fearless. I mean, they just have this incredible ability to stand up without the fear of what might happen. And I wasn't like that, though. I was the oldest of four, and there were times I just it was just too much pressure. But you're built for it, and so it's amazing. This entire row is born leaders, including her. And you, the Lord has so groomed you, even though the kingdom of God and this is not exactly the thing you're holding on to. It's still a bit, not new to you, but still a bit foreign, still a bit distant, you know, and it is, though. But that's okay. And sometimes I think he's like somewhere over there. But what he does is he closes that gap. He's not like our fathers, go to your room, just get over there. Oh, no, no, no. He's the one who draws near. He's the one who comes and begins for you and I, us, to see him. He'll do that. But you have to know that he doesn't come into our lives to ruin it. Oh, no, he comes into our lives to make it. And you are born to lead whatever you decide to do, whatever your choices are. It'll always be the responsibility of being out front, the responsibility of knowing that what you do affects people. And so it's in my life now. I have to, it used to be a pressure before that whatever Jay LaRue's doing, because I have grandchildren, I have great-grandchildren, I have nieces and nephews, I have friends, I have tons of Bible college students. I know, though, that what I'm doing, people are watching. I have responsibility. And I used to think, now I just think, nah, it's who I am. It's okay. It's exactly what the Lord is doing with you. My young friend here, I don't know if you guys are brothers, but you could be. You look a lot alike, and they want to say that, though. But it's really amazing, though, because, again, whoever your parents are, you are brothers or you're not brothers? You look like that. You're just good friends. Okay, you are. but it's very similar with you, though, and maybe that's why you guys are together, even though in some ways your home life's different than his, and in some ways, though, life's not as easy as his. It's just different for you. But the same ability in the scholastic world, in the academic world, is there with you. Even though sometimes it doesn't feel like that, sometimes it just feels like it's nothing but a grind, and it's more irritating than it is really a joy. But it's there, my friend. And so this is going to be a real changing day for you, because the Lord is going to begin to meet you. So I don't know why he just comes at different times in our life. Sometimes he's waiting. Why me 22 years old? My brother was 50 when he came, when he finally made it to the Lord. I have a sister that still hasn't come in. I don't know why. My younger sister came a year after me. Linda came before me. So that's not that we can't always determine when he comes. But I know this, though. His intent is to come. And when we see him, everything changes. So my life is just a pattern of his appearing. I just see him. I don't mean the long hair, that kind of, no, that's, now I understand him. I know him more than I ever did. I thought I understood love and forgiveness. I didn't. When I got forgiven by God, I thought, wow, I know what I did. He forgave me. That was amazing. But as time goes on, I realized, wow, what a depth of it. And he'll continue to make himself known to you, so that you can trust him, because that's a difficult thing. You don't trust everybody. Even with me here, it has to be something that you've got to believe and that you've got to know. But he's going to cause you to trust him, my friend. And in your latter years, I'm looking at 30, 32, 33, you're going to remember this day. And hopefully we'll meet again, and you'll say to me, you know, I don't know, man, that was kind of weird, and I wasn't sure. I liked what I was hearing, though, but I didn't really believe that I would be able to trust him. But I'm telling you, my friend, you're going to trust him, and he will do things for your life that no one else could do. I'm going to say this, though. It's up to your parents. Though. You've got to work hard in school. You've got to commit to the education, because that's where, that in that arena, the Lord is really going to open up a lot of doors for you. Choose the career. Do something you like. He's cool with that. You don't have to be forced into anything. Don't do that. But you've got to find something that's attractive to you, something that you like in education. You could, if you like science and stuff, you could do engineering. But you really have that kind of mind, though. It's wide open of choices for you to do. I never liked science, and I never liked history or math. Kind of a rough situation for me. I fell in love with history after I got born again, but I still don't like math, I don't like science. So there was a limitation for me. He's really going to wipe out the limitation so you can begin to choose what you want to do. I'm sorry about this whole role, but it's got to be this way. My sister, listen, you know, I don't know, because I know he's handsome, maybe that's why you're here, I'm not sure. That could be the reason, but you're obviously beautiful like all the girls in here. Yeah, I'm just teasing you. But it could be. You have to know, though, that no matter why you came, who brought you, or why you're here, this is really the Lord's doing. Because he's got this, I don't know how well you know that, the people in that Bible, though, but there's two people the Lord's really building within you. One is young Esther. She's an amazing young woman. Orphan. No one knows her. She will be the one, it's a small book, only 8 chapters. She will be the one that'll save her people from death. And she's only 19, maybe as young as 18 at this moment. The other one, of course, is Ruth, another small book. And the thing about Ruth that's amazing, though, is her life given to people who are bitter, hurt, angry, very much like today's nurse would be, that kind of individual. And both those things the Lord is really building in you. And there's always going to be a place for you in the lives of people who are hurting, people who are just stretched, pulled apart. You have them now, friends who have issues with their parents, troublesome. They're going to come to you, and there's going to be a sense in your life that they know, that you understand, you know, and you're sensitive to. Some people could care less. I don't care what's going on in their life. Don't talk to me about it. You're not that way. And your whole life, the Lord will use you this way. So if you get into medicine, the Lord will be in it. You can choose. But if you want to just do counseling and care and family services, he'll do that too. But no matter what you choose to do, your life will be for people, caring for people, loving people. And the Lord, like Queen Esther, there was a place next to the king that she had. And my young sister, I just want you to know, the Lord's already preparing a place for you. Everybody has an opportunity to know him. Everybody has the opportunity to see him, to learn him, but not everybody gets so close to him they can sense his heartbeat. That's the place Esther had with the king. That's exactly what the Lord is doing with you. Believe it or not, it's true. I got to try to come over here. How are we doing, guys? Good? Good. My young friend here, listen, And I'm going to be very careful with this, though, because everybody has to choose, in a sense, their destiny. Everybody has to choose in their life where they're going to go, what they're going to do. I love it, though, when in all these young people, I just love this gal here. I love the young people anyways. But I really love it when I look upon a young man or young woman who God is laying his hand on, that he is going to raise up to carry the gospel, to be a young man. It doesn't mean you have to become a pastor or actually be called a youth pastor. It doesn't necessarily mean that. But the Lord's already put a tender heart in you and already put a grace in your life for the kingdom of God. And so that the word of God would be in your heart, the word of God would be in your mouth. It doesn't have to be like Pastor Sean. It doesn't mean I'm a full-time pastor, but shepherding people. I don't pastor anymore. I don't do that anymore. I do this. I'm somewhere every weekend, somewhere in the United States or the world. And so I don't do that. But the care of people is something that's my responsibility. So whether when I was at Starbucks this afternoon or we were eating today, Pastor Edgar and I at the Mexican restaurant, the people around me are my responsibility. That's exactly how he's building you. So you don't have to go to Bible school or Bible college. That's not really, that's not the choice. But whatever you do decide to do, the Word of God is going to be very, very important to you. You're going to want to know it. You're going to want to learn it. And so even if you go into the business world, then you'll carry that gospel with you. But, dude, I'm just telling you, the Lord is going to begin meeting with you. He's going to put a passion in your palate for the Word of God. Even you're hearing it, when it's being shared, it's just going to be like, yeah, I like that. I want that. That's mine. My life changed when Jesus came in, because I never read that. I didn't even read a book until I was 27. That's pretty bad. But then I started hearing this. I just thought, yeah, I want that. That's exactly what's going to be taking place in your life. How are we doing? I can't see my watch. Got a couple more minutes? Okay, how are we doing over here? You guys all right? You people all right? Good, good. Love the hair on both of you. I get this thing for hair. I don't know why. See it? I have hair up here, but I shave it. And people wonder why it's so shiny. Some of the older ladies come and say, Dr. J, that's the glory of God. I say, no, it's just shiny. It's nothing. It just glares like this. One time, Linda put makeup on it. And I had a white shirt and it rained. I didn't know makeup runs. And so all down my white shirt was all these stripes. And I got up to speak with a white shirt on and a tie. And everybody was like this. And Linda, I said, what's wrong with everybody? She'd go to the men's room. I went, all these lines. That was the last time you put makeup on my head. Yeah. I'm just kidding. So it's you. I just want to just encourage, okay? You know, sometimes I often wondered if the Lord really knew where I lived, if he knew my life, if he was interested. Most of my life, I just thought, well, I grew up in a church where he was still on the cross, and I just thought, he doesn't know, he doesn't care. All he is interested in is that if I'm in trouble or I do wrong, he's all about that. He could care less. I didn't enjoy my family life. I didn't like my father. It was a troubled life for me as a young person. I didn't realize so later how much he cares for every one of us, especially in our homes, especially when we're young. And so he's very sensitive to what takes place around us and in our homes, very sensitive. And so I want you to know, my young sister, that the Lord is just going to begin gradually moving into your home. And when he comes, he brings salt and light, and he brings love and peace in a way I've never known it before. He just causes things to change. Even in my own life, my own family, I was getting married to Linda, and it was a little bit rocky between us. And when Jesus came in, it just all changed. And my father came into the kingdom after me. And in my own father's home, my brothers and my sisters, it just changed. He just does something that just brings us, because there was never any peace there. There was just in my home anger, fighting, yelling. No money, it was just that way. We had four people living in one room, my brothers, my sisters, in two bunk beds, one bathroom, no shower. I'm 12 years old, 13 years old. I just started playing sports just so I could shower. I was just angry because I just thought, you know, this is just, and then I just didn't know he would care that much. And he's going to show you, and you're going to be a young woman who knows, a young woman knows, that this God is very compassionate. This God cares about everyone. And it doesn't matter who they are, where they've grown up, what their home life is, he cares. And no matter what's going on in our life, we can pray and we can ask him. And he will do more for us and rebuild our future. I know my guidance counselor said to me, and when I was a senior, said to me, Mr. LaRue, I was like, who, me? Yeah, Jay, you. There's no future for you. I have no idea what you're going to become. What she didn't know was there was somebody who had more care, more dream, more hope for me than anyone else. And my young sister, that you're going to carry in your life and you're going to bring it to people because you are going to know what that means. Right in your home. Stand with me, please. I just want to encourage you again, not to roll through the story, though. What might God be willing to do if if he did that for them, what might he do for us, you, me? Just believe him, that's it. So, Father, I just thank you for the tremendous honor for me to be part of these awesome young people. What I'm asking tonight, though, as I did earlier, that there's a sense of who you are, of this awesome kingdom. There's no kingdom like it. The limitations in our life are off in this kingdom. There's nothing we can't do. There's absolutely no restraint with you. So, Father, I thank you for that. Lord, bless them abundantly in life. Let them choose you in every way. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.